Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the God Factor podcast, where we have conversations about what it means to live with intention and with purpose. And it's your girl, Aviola Controller, and I hope you're having an amazing time in the world. Thank you very much for coming back and for joining me on this episode. It's a solo episode today. The truth is, I actually had an episode recorded to be published tomorrow. However, I ran into technical difficulties and I was just like, oh my goodness. And I just told myself, let's keep calm. We're not going to go crazy. We're going to figure it out. We can always publish it next week or in 2 weeks. But I knew that I wanted to release an episode regardless. So I just figured I would just do a short solo episode talking about my why. And I shared a post on Instagram today. So if you're not following me on Instagram, I am at Steady Steps. And I'm also at the God Factor Podcast. Go follow me. Thank you. I did share a really long post talking about my why. And so I remember in 2015. Yes, that was when I had finished all my degrees. I have 5 degrees. Yes, I know a little too much, but at some point in time in my life, I thought school was the only route for me. I thought I couldn't do anything but go to school and make money. So my life at a point in time was just me packing up all these degrees and just, you know, figuring out which degree or which field is going to give me the most money. Hence the reason why I have 5 degrees. For somebody who doesn't really care about school, like the institution of school, education in itself, like education, yes, but the institution of school, to have that many degrees, like, yeah. But anywho, I did finish up, you know, finally in 2015. And I remember getting my first job in corporate. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is nice. I was 26 at the time. I was like, oh, my goodness, this is nice. And no, actually, this was 2014. I was 25 at the time. So this was September 2014. So I was like, oh, my goodness, this is nice. And I remember my first week on that job, I had met one of my team members. Was a team of 6 or 7 people, very small team in a very large company. And I had met one of my, I struck a conversation with one of my team members. I already met them, but I struck a conversation with one of them, and his name is Gerald. I don't want to say was, cause he's probably still alive, but his name is Gerald. And, Gerald happened to be my father's age mate. And I believe he was also born the same month as my father. I can't remember, but he happened to be my father's age mate, born in 1960. I remember that very well. So I struck a conversation with him and I was just like, you know, how long have you been working here for? What do you like about the job? Just, you know, having, you know, talking as a newbie on the team. And Gerald proceeded to tell me that he had been working with the company for 30 years. And I couldn't understand it. I was like, 30 years? Like, you've been coming back to this same establishment for the last 30 years? And Gerald said, yes. And I'm just like, how? Like, how do you come to the same place for 30 years? I couldn't, like, wrap my head around it because I didn't see past that day in my head. I couldn't even focus or tell you what's going to happen in a year. Now talk less of 30 years. And then he was like, I got this job right out of high school at the age of 18. I got married, I had kids, I got a house, I got a car, and that's what life has been. And that conversation really left something inside of me because I started to think of the trajectory that I was going on. And I was just like, hold on, you mean to tell me that all I came to do in this life is to go to school, make the grades, get a job, have children, get married, pay the bills, and die? That was really when I started to question my purpose. That was really when it shifted for me. And I'm just like, this can be life. And I would say, I'm going to borrow Viktor Frankl's, the name of his book, Man's Search for Meaning, in this context. I'm going to say that's really when meaning, like, I started to, like, think about who I was outside of this trajectory that I was on, because had always known that there was something different, but I couldn't place my finger on it. And I'd always fought to just conform to the institution of school, conform to the rules, conform to what you've been taught. You can't do anything outside of all of these parameters. But that conversation with Gerald, I couldn't shake it off. There was just something, I don't know, there was just something about that conversation that just, I continued to just think about it, and I was just like, man. And I guess maybe seeing him and also seeing my dad and just seeing how life, like just the choices that we make in life, how two people who were born in the same year, who are the same age, could make different decisions and have different outcomes. Because my dad was on also on that, like also on that trajectory. However, he ended up leaving his workplace. I think my dad retired, I think, in 2009, so 6 years prior. And at this time in 2015 or 14, I was 25. So my dad would have been 55 because we're 30 years apart. So, and he retired 6 years prior. So he was probably around like 49, just about to turn 50. To face his family, like his business full time and whatnot. But it was just interesting to me. And it was at that moment I knew that I couldn't do this for the next 30 years. I couldn't come back to the same company for the next 30 years. I couldn't be in the, with, like, I just did not, like, that was just not me. That was just not my purpose. That was just not my calling. And not to say that there are people who invest their time in that and, you know, it doesn't work out for them. If, as long as that's what you're meant to do, then it works out for you. However, for me, I knew that that wasn't where I was supposed to be. That wasn't what God wanted for me, ultimately, in the bigger scheme of things. And even though I was still living my life more like in a controlling way, not necessarily surrendering to God or even building a relationship with God, I was still trying to do things like, you know, I was still involved in a lot of toxicity, for the most part, toxic relationships, which really shaped a lot of the decisions that I was making at the time as well. But anywho, that process, or sorry, that, you know, encounter that I had with Gerald, it really started to help me think about my why, about purpose. And the thing is, when you find purpose, you birth your why. Because there's going to be times where life throws curveballs at you. Life throws challenges and obstacles at you. But that why is what keeps you grounded and helps you remember why you started what you started in the first place. So for me, my why lies in a lot of things. It lies in the fact that it lies in my calling as a mother. I never really understood what it meant to be a mother. Again, because when I had my first child, it was just one of those things that just happened. And I had to go through that process while mothering him, learning about myself, being self-aware, and then getting to a point where I was like, ah, God, I see what you're doing. And I started to change my attitude as a mother. So now when I look at my children as sometimes, not gonna lie, challenging and sometimes just draining as it could be sometimes, I'm not gonna lie, because it could be draining, I am grateful for their presence in my life because they make me a better person. So my why lies in my children, and it's one of the reasons why I choose not to give up, because I look at them and I'm like, you guys are not, I'm not gonna give you, I'm not gonna hand you trauma or toxicity or headache because I refused to show up. Because I refuse to step into this purpose. I refuse to step into this role that God had given me. I'm not going to do that to you guys. So my lie lies in my calling as a mother. My why lies in the reason why I go to work, the way that I go to work and how I show up at work. And it's so interesting because I was never one of those people who showed up the way I show up now. I just was, if you've read my book, I think I talk a little bit about my work ethic and how I just used to be rebellious at work. I just used to be, I don't care about you guys. I'm bigger than all of this. So even though I was pursuing purpose, I was treating work like trash. And it wasn't nice. It wasn't nice at all. And I had to come a full circle. Hindsight is really 2020. I understood the deeper meaning of that statement today. Hindsight is really 2020 because I was like, man, I was treating work like trash. And me being at work at that point in time was off purpose, because even though I didn't like what I did, there was still a purpose for me being in that moment, like being there in that moment. But I did not take it. I just looked at it as, I'm not deserving of this place. I'm bigger than this place, and I'm going to move and I'm going to establish my business. I'm going to make money. I'm going to be like peace to you guys. So as much as I did not like what I was doing, there was an element or a piece of me that needed that job in that moment for me to be able to grow to the next level. And it was as simple as being able to put food on the table for my child and myself, being able to have confidence in my finances and knowing that I could do certain things, I could invest in my purpose. And for that, I could have shown a more positive attitude towards my work ethic. So now today, when I think of work, I think of it as it means. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be there for the next 30 years, but it is serving its purpose. And I know my why with regards to why I show up to work in the way that I show up to work. My why lies in my calling, my purpose. And I struggled with this for a very long time, up until the point where it became very clear to me what I was supposed to be doing on earth. And there are times where I just feel so bad. I just feel so down. And I'm just like, God, what's going on? However, I have to remember that it's okay to feel down. It's okay to feel down in the dumps. However, staying in there and just wallowing in self-pity and giving excuses, acting like a victim, is something that I choose choose to stay away from, because then it means that I am not conscious of the other people who are looking at me to rise up for them. And it's not a matter of, and I'm big on self-care, taking time off for myself. I'm aware when I just need like a mental break to just kind of like chill and, you know, get out of my own way. I'm aware of that. However, it's just, I've seen myself get to a point where I started to go back to my old habits, and I had to put a stop, and I had to like call myself to order to be like, girl, that's not the plan. Like, even God had to send people to me to be like, girl, that's not the plan. Like, all this stuff you're trying to engage in, it's not going to work. This is not the plan that I had for you. So you better rise up and let's do this work, because we have a ton of work to do. Okay. So my why lies in that. My why lies in the fact that there are people who are waiting for me to show up. There are people whose lives are dependent on me to show up. So the more that I wallow, or the more that I drag my face, the more they are just in whatever it is that they are in. Because I believe that there's some people who, they go through the tiniest of things and it's like, oh my goodness, it's all over for me. I'm done. I can't. And there's some people who they go through so much, like back to back to back to back. And somehow they, like, you can't just imagine or understand, comprehend how they find the strength to show up again and just be who God has created them to be, to just show up. And I believe that's who I am. So now when things happen, I don't say things happen to me. I say things happen for me. It doesn't necessarily mean that I just allow people walk over me or allow situations happen. There's some situations that I'll be like, okay, no, I'm not going to put myself in this situation. And there's some things that happen that even I might not see coming until it happens. And I'm like, whoa. But then that's a lesson that I get to share with somebody out there. I believe I'm one of those people that things happen for me in order for me to be able to share that lesson, in order for me to be able to share that lesson of affliction, in order for me to be able to share that story where, hey, this has happened to me before. This is what I've gone through. This is what I've been through. However, there's still purpose. There's still light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not over. until you decide that it's over, until you choose that it's over. So I believe that's who I am. I believe that's my purpose, to help other people thrive in their purpose so they can live a promised and fulfilled life. My why lies in how I show up for my family, how I show up for the people that I care about. For me, it's creating that relationship, you know, when, and man, I've come to a point in my life where I'm so intentional about the things that I do. And I have to always remind myself of why I'm doing everything that I do, because then it's tied into that purpose, because then it keeps me grounded. Because when it is that I'm going through obstacles or the ebbs and flows of life or the challenges of life, I'm able to like bring myself back to ground zero to be like, there's a reason why this is happening. There's a reason why you're here. You're just not here because, oh, it looks good and it looks shiny. You're here because of a purpose. And for me, that's really, it's really like just having that strong why. It's really like just changed the trajectory of my life, because I just don't do things out of a whim. And I was that kind of a person. Even now, I'm not going to lie, there's times where I could go on Instagram and things look really shiny and somebody's doing something. And then I start to feed into my, you know, my brain. I'm like, oh my God, look at you, Biola. After how many years you have not achieved this, you know, after this, look at your mates. You know, they're even younger than you. They've not even gone far. They've only been here for how many years? And then look at what they're achieving and stuff like that. So there's times where I have those conversations with myself. However, the reason this is why it's also important, or there's times where I have those conversations with myself. However, this is the reason why it's so important to have that strong why, because when I go back and forth with these thoughts in my head, and then I go back and I write down on my paper or my journal and I journal, I'm like, okay, we're back to, you know, the ground. Like we're back to the purpose. We're back to the why. Your journey doesn't look like their journey. I don't know what journey they're on. I'm just seeing a portion of their lives, and, you know, they're posting that on the gram or on YouTube, on Facebook, or whatever social media platform that I find all of these posts on. But their journey doesn't look like my journey, and my journey is different. So I have to be tied to the cause. I have to be tied to the purpose of my own journey in order for me to stay the cause. So once I get hit by something, I don't like, oh man, okay, that blow was too much. I'm done. It was too painful. I'm done. I'm going to look for an easier way out. Because the easier way out, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy. You know, like my friend says, the grass is greener on the other side, but hey, the water bill is also higher. So choose. Pick your pick, right? So for me, that's just, when I think about that why, it's so powerful. It's so, so powerful. And I still had a conversation about it with somebody today who, somebody dear to me. I'm not going to spill the details, but, you know, they were going through something and, or they are currently going through something, not where, but they are currently going through something. And one of the things I told them was, I think this is a great time for, not even I think, I'm trying to take that out. I'm choosing to take that word out of my vocabulary, especially when I'm confident in what I'm saying. So let's reframe. I told them, this is a great time for you to sit down and really think about your why. Really think about your purpose. Really think about why you do the things that you do, because you do a lot of things and you are involved in a lot of things. But then it's like, there is no cause. There's nothing that keeps you grounded in all of these things that you do, so much so that when you see something that looks shiny on the outside, you're quick to move to that shiny stuff and leave this other thing that you're working on, because there's no purpose tied to it. There's no, yet your why isn't strong enough. So I did tell them, I said, you have to now hone into that, especially if this situation is really important to you and the circumstances surrounding this situation is really important to you. You have to now sit down and hone into that situation, drive in and really start to ask yourself, okay, why is this important to me? Why did I feel the need to move towards the shiny thing when I had this amazing thing that kept me grounded? Why do I feel the need to not be committed or not be in this place because something else has shown up? So it's asking those questions. And for the most part, you get to the root cause, because I like to deal with the root cause. I don't like to deal with the symptoms. Somebody broke up with me. Okay, because I cheated on them. Okay, so there's a reason why that happened in the first place. There's a reason why you moved to somebody who, or you moved and you went and cheated on somebody. You just don't wake up one morning and be like, oh, you want to just cheat. No, there's a reason why that happened. So I like to focus on the root cause, because then we can work our way from that root cause. We can work our way from the bottom, and then we can go up, and then we can start to change behavior, mindsets. We can start to change stories. We can start to rewrite stories. We can start to reframe stories. We can start to provide evidence of the stories that we choose to have in our lives. So even if we don't have it in our environment, even if we don't have it in our vicinity, even if we don't have it around us, even if we've never grown up around these stories that we desire, we can start to reframe, and we can start to choose things differently. We can start to go out and create our own stories. And that's the power of human beings. And that's the beauty of who we are as human beings. And that's one of the things that I discovered about myself, that, oh my goodness, okay, so if I didn't have a story of, you know, money comes easily to me, I can go out there and I can create that story. And now it's my own story. It doesn't look like Jack's story. It doesn't look like Amanda's story. It doesn't look like Taylor's story. It is my own story, because I have created it and it works for me. And I can use that to teach other people, or to tell other people and be like, yo, this works. Try it and see. Right? So the power of the why. It is so strong. I believe everybody needs to, even before you, you know, get a job, if you're listening to this right now, before you step into any office, before you step into, because again, if you don't have that strong why, you're going to find yourself in that toxic situation, that situation where you do not desire, where it's not fueling you, but then you're just there like, oh, the money is good, so therefore I'm going to stay, or, oh, the, I don't know, the sex is good, so I'm going to stay. The sex is good, so I'm going to stay. Oh, like you find yourself in toxic situations if you don't have that strong why. So even before, like, I feel like before you do anything in life, for me, before you do anything, even as little as grocery shopping, I would ask myself, do I need this? Like, why do I need this? I only buy the things that I need, which is interesting because my fridge, for some reason, I've never been, I don't know how people have like big fridges and they fill it up with stuff. I cannot. I have tried, but I cannot. Like, it just doesn't happen for me. The moment I'm like, oh yeah, my fridge looks semi-stocked, before I know it, everything is done and then it's empty again. But the thing is, I have stuff at home that I could use to cook and produce a meal. But you wouldn't, like, when you visit me, you will not find my fridge overly full, where it's like plastics upon plastics and containers and this and that. I don't know. I really honestly don't know. But for me, I'm very intentional, even with things as little as grocery shopping. Why do I want to buy this? Why am I buying pop when I know that I don't like pop? Why would I buy pop? Right? I will buy drinks for my children, but we drink more of water in my household. Little bit of times, yeah, here and there, yes, do dabble into juice and whatnot, but it was more water. But, you know, like, why would I buy sauces when I'm not a sauce person? Like, I don't like to have too much sauce in my food. I always like equilibrium. I always like to make sure that everything tastes nice and I can taste all the spices and all the, you know, everything that was used to make the particular meal. So I'm not like into sauces. So why would I go to the grocery store and then just pack on all the sauces because it looks good, it was cheap, it was on sale? Do you understand what I'm saying? So I believe that we need to start asking ourselves why. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you going to the job that you're going to? Why are you hanging around people that make you miserable? Why are you in that career trajectory or that career that you do not enjoy? Why are you holding yourself back from living out the purpose? Why are you living the way you live? Why do you have the mindset you have? What is your, like, why is your mindset around purpose, around money, around life the way it is? Why? And I like to ask questions. And when somebody tells me, oh, such and such and such and such, my next question is, why? I want to know what it is. I want to know what follows that decision. Is it really you, or is it something that was handed down to you and you've now taken it on as your own story? So if you're listening to this, I encourage you to really start to tap into the power of your why, to start to ask questions. Why? Why? Like, just sometimes just stop in your tracks and just be like, why? Like, why? And then, man, you just begin to walk yourself through that process, and then you start to figure it out and you're like, whoa, oh, wow, I didn't even think about it like that. So it didn't even, like, I didn't even know until now that that's why I do what I do, or that's why I walk the way I walk, or that's why I think the way I think, or that's why, you know, that story is correlated to this story, you know. So let's get it together, you know, let's get on this, because we have a ton of work to do. There are people who are waiting for you to step into the calling of your life. There are people who are waiting for you to show up and be who God has created you to be. So the earlier we start to ask the why question, the better you find your purpose, and you really start to live in that purpose, and you start to show other people that, look, you can live in purpose, and you can live a fulfilled life, and you can live an abundant life. And I need your help to be able to do this. So let's get it together and let's do it. But if you've enjoyed this episode, please make sure that you share, and please make sure that you subscribe, and make sure that you rate this podcast, because this is a mission. This is a journey. This is a lifestyle. This is for life. And I'm excited to just bring amazing people who are going to be speaking life into you, who are going to be sharing their stories, who are going to be representatives of God on this earth. And I thank you so much for listening. I appreciate your time, and I will catch you on the next episode. Peace.